Yo, party people, happy new year. It's 2024 and the South End Cinema Podcast is back. Yo, it's your man LB and we are here to do another What I'm Watching. Got some stuff that I want to talk about that kind of goes from December into January of this year. We are now in early February. Actually, I think, what is today? The 2nd. So, you know, right here at the beginning of a new month, Black History Month. So, shout out to all my black people. You know what I'm saying? We're here. We got an extra day this year because it's a leap year. So, yeah, let's go. I got some stuff I want to talk about in terms of what I've been watching and everything. But I want to give a shout out to my guys over at the Hot Fire Starter Podcast. Like I said, today is February 2nd. It's a Friday. So if you're marking, if you're scoring at home, February 2nd of 2024 is a Friday. And last week, my birthday, January 24th, was a Wednesday. So I was sitting in the house the couple days before that on that Monday. And I was just chilling, and I was like, yo, I should holler at Firestarter and see if it would be cool for me to jump on the podcast with them. Because if y'all know me, you know I've been saying forever that the Black Guy Who Tips and the Hot Firestarter are my favorite podcasts. They're both number one, and I rank everybody else number two. So I've been rocking with those guys for a long, long time. And I think I may have mentioned the last time I was on here that I had a chance to be on What You've Been Watching, which is hosted by Sam, a.k.a. Bossa, who's one of the three guys that host the Firestarter. So I was lucky enough to be on his show. He's got a new show, for those that don't know. He's one of the guys that host the show, like I said. And he's got a couple of new shows that he's doing. One of them is called What You've Been Watching, which is kind of similar to what I do here with these What I've Been Watching joints, where you just kind of like talk TV and everything, and movies and all that. So he does that one by himself, and he usually brings on a guest. So, you know, one night I got the call, you know, the bat signal went up in the air, and, you know, I got a chance to chop it up with him on that show. So check out that podcast, and you can hear me and him talking about some TV stuff. I think at the time, the Golden Globe nominations had just came out. So we talked about a lot about that stuff. And we got a little bit of, you know, a little bit of basketball talk. You know, he's a Duke fan. I'm a Carolina fan. So we talked a little bit, like, about that stuff. You know, actually, Duke and Carolina play each other tomorrow. So I'm hoping the Tar Heels definitely come with it and that we beat those dudes, you know what I mean? Because over here, we hate Duke. You know what I'm saying? So he does that one, and he's got another one called We're Better Than You, which is a college basketball podcast that he hosts with one of our Twitter homeboys, C.A. Huggins. C.A. is a Kentucky fan. And like I said, Bob's a Duke fan. So it's like a Kentucky Duke podcast or whatever. You know, they get over there and they talk their shit. Both of those guys like to talk a lot of shit, you know what I mean? So a lot of Carolina slander and slander for everybody outside of those two teams going on over there. But those are some real good brothers, though, man, despite the fact that they root for, you know, the teams that they root for. So check those out, and, of course, check out the Firestarter. But bringing it back to that, so I was like, you know, let me go ahead and shoot my shot. You know, I was kind of just waiting to hope to get the call one day. But I guess the drink that I was sipping on that Monday night was like, nah, nigga, go ahead and, you know what I'm saying, holler. So I sent them a DM and was like, yo, my birthday is in a couple days. Would it be cool if I jump on the show with y'all? And Bar and Tone, TKO, they share the Firestarter account. And then KBADS, he has his own separate Twitter account. So one of the guys, I think it was Bob, was like, yo, yeah, let's do it. So, you know, a couple days later on my birthday, I got a chance to be on the Firestarter. My first time on there, it was a great time. KB had to work, so he was able to jump on and chop it up with me and Tone for maybe about like 15 minutes, something like that. But some big news had happened in the sports that night. And he works in the sports world, sports media, so he had to go, you know what I mean? But he was able to come in for a little while and say what's up. And, you know, so it was great to rap with him for a few minutes. And Bob had, he was on daddy duty that night. You know, he's a married man, got a couple kids. So he had to, you know, be Mr. Mom that night. So I didn't get a chance to chop it up with all three of the fellas, but I got two of them for a little while. And then for most of that episode, it's me and Tone, TKO. We had a great time. You know, it was a great honor and a privilege to be on there. And hopefully y'all will be able to check that out. So if you haven't, go check out Hot Fire Starter. Check out my episode, but check out all the episodes. You know what I'm saying? Like I say, Black Guy Who Tips and Hot Fire Starter are my number one favorite podcast ever. I've been lucky enough to podcast with Rod and Cameron from the Black Guy Who Tips. I've been on that show a few times. Hopefully we'll be able to do that again sometime in the near future. And I've actually had them on some of these Look and Listen joints that I've been doing over the years. I know Rod was on the one I did on hip-hop 101, which I'm not even sure if it's still out there, but if you find that episode, he was on that. I know Karen was on the Natural Hair episode that I did a long time ago, and I think I've had one of both of them on something else as well. So yeah, hopefully I'll be able to podcast with them again sometime soon as well. But it was definitely great to now be able to say that I've been on both of my number one favorite shows, and hopefully I'll be able to jump back on with, you know, the Five Starter Boys at some point, and you know, just have a great time with everybody. You know what I'm saying? So check those out, and you know, holler at me. Let me know what you think of those episodes. And like I said, check out their other stuff too. So that's first and foremost. So now we're getting into some of the stuff that I've been watching over the last several weeks, and share some thoughts on those things. The first thing that I wanted to mention was that, you know, during the holidays, you know, everybody talks about their favorite Christmas movies, and, you know, people want to, you know, try to wedge certain things in there that are not necessarily Christmas movies, but hey, it's my favorite Christmas movie. Oh, that's well and good. You know, that's cool. That movie is not necessarily a Christmas movie, but hey, you can do whatever you want to, right? So everybody has their favorites and all that. I just wanted to mention mine. My favorite Christmas movie is The Greatest Christmas Movie of All Time. And there's one stat that I can give you as to why that is. Like, if you don't already know, if you're not already imagining what I'm talking about, then I'll tell you what it is and just give you one reason why. There's plenty of reasons, but I'll just give you one. The greatest Christmas movie of all time that I enjoyed again, you know, weeks ago when Christmas came around, is a little something that we like to call A Christmas Story. And it's about my man Ralphie, his brother Randy, his parents doing their thing back in what, the probably the 50s, somewhere like that, 50s or 60s. You know, Ralphie is a young man on a mission to, you know, get his first Red Ryder BB gun. Everybody's trying to tell him you'll shoot your eye out. And there's all kinds of things that go on, you know, with that. And the stat that I'm going to give you, the reasoning, the explanation for why this is the GOAT, is because every year, and I don't know when this started, I don't know how it started, I'm sure I can look it up and find out what the actual reason for it is. But every year since I've been alive, I just turned 44 last week. Like I told y'all, my birthday was last week. Every year of my life, there has been 24 hours of A Christmas Story. TNT, and nowadays, TNT and TBS. So you got two networks showing that one movie 24 hours straight from 8 p.m. Christmas Eve to 8 p.m. Christmas Day. Nothing But Ralphie. Name another movie that has that. There is none. Christmas movie, action, horror, nobody. One movie has 24-hour treatment, and it happens every year. You can mark your calendars. Today is February 2nd. Pencil it in. Put it on your Google calendar. Put it on your Apple shit, whatever you got. If you have a physical calendar, grab a pen, write it down. 8 p.m. Christmas Eve to 8 p.m. Christmas Day, 24 hours, A Christmas Story. That's it. So I just wanted to say that, you know, other people have other opinions. That's cool. You can keep that to yourself. Over here, A Christmas Story. So the next thing that I wanted to talk about, and this, I got to give another shout out to Sam, a.k.a. Ba, for this one. We talked about this when I was on his podcast, and I want to shout out my man Danny Foxworth as well, because he was preaching the gospel of this movie too. It's a little something on Tubi, and we all know how infamous Tubi is right now. It's a movie on Tubi called Killer Zaddy. And those two guys were talking about that joint and like, yo, y'all niggas got to watch this shit, blah, blah, blah. Man, I watched that movie. It was bad, bro. Me and Tone actually talked about that on the Firestarter. I think when I was on Sam's show, when I was on What You've Been Watching, I was aware of the movie, but I hadn't seen it yet. By the time I did the Firestarter, he wasn't on that episode, so I didn't get a chance to talk with Sam about it. But me and Tone talked about it a little bit because he had watched it at that point too. Yeah, Killer Zaddy was bad, man, but it was entertaining though. But it was bad. It was one of those joints that gives Tubi. It's when you think of a Tubi movie, you know, it's got a reputation for being these kind of like, you know, low budget sort of hoodish type movies, like, you know, all the things that people say about Tubi. This movie was kind of that, but I will say that it was a good looking cast. Everybody was good looking people, and I thought some of the shot composition was actually pretty good. The way that some of the shots were framed, and you know, some of the camera work was good. The editing, I think, is one of the things that was kind of bad about it. And it seemed like it was, you know, if not everybody's, it was definitely some people's first time acting or first few times, because these were not seasoned veterans. You know, there won't be any Academy Awards, you know, being handed out to anybody that was involved in this particular project, not at this time. Now, I will say this, and I forgot her name. I don't have it in front of me. But I will give it, matter of fact, let me try to look it up real quick, man, just so that I can actually give credit where it is due. Looking it up right now, live podcasting, even though we're recording, but, you know. Is this the girl here? Hold up. Because I wanted to say that the woman that stars in the movie, I believe, was also the writer and director. And her name is what I'm looking for right now. Hold up real quick. But when you watch the film and you see the main character, whose name is Naomi, I heard that the lady that plays her actually wrote it. And is the star of the film as well. So this could be a situation where, like, you know, right now, you know, she's making Killer Zaddy. Okay, well, this is saying something different. So it's saying that Sydney Page plays Naomi, but it says that Denise Monet, who plays Melanie in the film, Denise Monet is credited as the director and writer. So it's not the main girl. It's the person that plays Melanie, who I want to say was the roommate. But writer and director credit, Denise Monet. So I wanted to say about her is that she's in the film and she's got those credits as well. And she's you know, clearly a young lady. So it could be one of those situations, and I will root for this, to where, like, we're talking about Killer Zaddy right now in 2024. But in a few years, if she sticks with the writing and sticks with directing and all that kind of stuff, you know, maybe one day she will be in line for an Academy Award. You know what I'm saying? And it could be that type of come up, because everybody starts from somewhere. So Killer Zaddy was definitely entertaining. It is the sort of stereotypical Tubi movie, but I would definitely recommend it to y'all to check it out and to chop it up with us online about it after you have a chance to see it. And when I was on Firestarter, we talked about Killer Zaddy, and you know, kind of the fact that it was, you've seen movies like this, it's kind of like there's plenty of Lifetime movies, there's plenty of sort of Tyler Perry-ish type movies where it's, you know, young lady and there's an older guy, and you know, he's real smooth and, you know, trying to, you know, romance her and try to woo her with all this, you know, with money and you know, whatever else he thinks is going to work. But then obviously, you know, when she kind of falls in line with it and they start kind of messing around, and obviously he shows his crazy side, right? Like, how many movies have we seen about that? So nothing that you haven't seen before, but definitely worth the chance to, you know, take a look at it. So we talked about that, and I told him about this movie that I saw on Amazon Prime. And it's actually listed on Tubi as well. It's called Davion, Dayveon. And we just talked about how, you know, sometimes bad movies can be entertaining. I didn't think Davion was that entertaining, though. But I would challenge any of y'all listening to this to pull that up on Amazon Prime or Tubi or wherever. I think it's on Vudu and some other spots as well. Check that out. You know what I'm saying? And holler at me on Twitter or wherever. You know, once you see that, and we can talk about that one, because that was an experience. I watched that one night a few years ago. It was late. I was up. I think it was around holiday time, so I was, you know, on my holiday vacation. So no schedule, nothing like that. And I was like, you know, let me watch, you know, find something to watch. I turned that on, man, and I was mad. I was like, yo, this movie is dumb. Like, it was bad, y'all. So, yeah, check out Killer Zaddy. And take the Pepsi challenge and see if you can get through Davion as well. But on to some good shit. Me and my mother started watching Black Cake on Hulu. And we have now seen 4 episodes. I think there's 8. We've seen 4 of them. What I can say about, a couple things that I want to say about Black Cake. Number one is, it's crazy how much the... I gotta pull up IMDb one more time because I want to say these people's names. There's a young lady on Black Cake playing the younger version of one of the main characters. So I guess Black Cake was a book at first, and then now it's a TV show that they have on Hulu. And I guess the premise is there's a guy and his sister just lose their mom. Their mom dies, and as a part of her will, there's these audio recordings that she has where she's telling them her real story. They think her name is Eleanor, and you know, she had XYZ happen in her life and blah, 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 right? She's, you know, got this story that she's, you know, told them and lived out. But in the recording, she's actually telling you her real story. Eleanor is not my name. I didn't do this, this, and this. This is what really happened. So that's sort of like, you know, the basic part of what the story is about. And they show a lot of flashbacks to when she was younger. And so they have the adult version of the mom is played by, I hope I say this right, Cheapo Chung. And the younger version of her is played by an actress named Mia Isaac. If you haven't seen this show already, number one, check it out. We're four episodes in, and it's pretty interesting. But if you haven't seen the show and don't already know what these, or haven't seen the show and or don't already know what these two women look like, take a moment, Google them. It's insane how much Mia Isaac looks like Cheapo Chong, yo. Like, it really looks like she could be her daughter, or like actually a younger version of her. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at, I don't know how old Mia Isaac is. I think she's maybe about 19 or something like that. If you look at Cheapo Chung when she was that age, they probably look exactly alike. Like, whoever did the casting on that did an incredible job. And really the whole family. I think that's one of the important things sometimes, like, when you watch TV and when you watch movies and people are supposed to be related to each other, you know, sometimes it's dead on, and sometimes it's like these people don't look anything alike. You know what I'm saying? They just all happen to be black or Chinese or whatever it is, right? But in this case, man, they did a fucking incredible job on casting those two people in particular to play the adult and younger versions of the same character. So the show has been interesting. I said on Twitter last night, actually, after we watched the fourth episode, the first three are kind of a slow burn. They're interesting. They grab your attention, and you do want to see what's going to happen next. But they're still kind of, because she's like taking it back all the way to, like, you know, her childhood or whatever. So she's kind of, you know, in essence, sort of telling her kids her life story from the beginning. So there's a lot of things that you see sort of in the beginning that, you know, are kind of illustrating, like, you know, where she actually came from, and what she was into, and, you know, her first boyfriend, and why that's important, and blah, 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 right? So in episode four, things started to kind of pick up a little bit, I would say. You started to see a little bit more of the actual family that she ended up with. Her adult self, so her playing the role, and the kids as adults, and, you know, sort of like some of the dynamics between her husband and her kids. So, and of course, when they set up at the end of the fourth episode, they kind of set you up for what's coming up in the next one. So I'm definitely interested in seeing, like, where we go from here. People say that it's really good. It gets a lot better from this point on, and that I guess there's a few more swerves and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to seeing where the story goes and where they wrap up the first season. I know it was based on a book, so I don't think that this first season is the end of the book. So I'm sure that there's a lot more that's still to come. But to be able to see wherever they leave off at the end of the last episode of this season is going to be, you know, pretty cool. So hopefully we can get through that sometime soon. I started rewatching American Dad. I really enjoyed my full series binge that I did last year, and I'm pretty much all caught up. I guess maybe the current season is over now, so I haven't seen anything, you know, any new stuff pop up on Hulu or on YouTube TV from American Dad in a little while. So I was like, let me go ahead and, you know, kind of restart it. So I've seen the first probably 5 or 6 episodes of the first season all over again, and you could definitely tell, like, at that point, you know, they definitely had a good idea for what the show was going to be, but there's definitely some things happening in the beginning. It's a first season. It's one of those things where you get a show that has a nice long run, and, you know, that first season is probably a lot of hope and ambition, because you don't know if you're going to get that second, third, and beyond, you know what I mean? So, you know, it definitely found its footing once they got out of that first season. But, you know, it's fun to kind of go back and look at even how much the animation has changed. You know, the characters are pretty much who they are throughout the series, but, you know, there's changes or whatever. So kind of, it's not like a show like a Black Cake or like a Game of Thrones or something like that, where story builds on itself. It's an animated show, just like Family Guy or The Simpsons or something like that, where, you know, the episodes don't necessarily connect with each other, but some of the arcs and some of the things that, you know, the characters say and do can kind of be consistent, even though each episode is pretty much kind of its own thing. So it'll be cool to kind of just have that as a thing, because I really did enjoy sitting down and watching that when I was, you know, going through everything for the first time. So, you know, this rewatch would be pretty cool, and, you know, I'll just go at whatever pace I can go. Next up, want to talk about, I saw the trailer for Curb Your Enthusiasm. Very excited about that. Like I said, today is February 4th. It's a Friday. The new season, the last season of Curb, actually drops in a couple days. So on Sunday the 4th, we'll get the last however many episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm. That trailer was hilarious, you know what I mean? So just based off that, I know it's going to be an insane season. I know my man Larry is going to go out with a bang. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm sure by the next time I get on here and start talking about some of the stuff I've been looking at, there will be some Curb stuff in there as well. So looking forward to that. Just a few more things to go and we'll wrap this up. The Brother's Son is something that I watched. It's on Netflix. Basically, the basic premise of that is there's this guy, he's the son of a crime boss, I believe in Taiwan, and he's also like involved in what's going on too. So his dad gets shot, and of course he's trying to defend, you know, the family and do their whole thing, and then eventually he has to come to America. I was gonna say in his mind, but it is what he's doing. But he comes to America to protect his mom and his younger brother, and you know, a lot of stuff happens in between there. I don't want to really give too much away about that, but I would definitely recommend that. You know, a lot of really cool action sequences. It's kind of funny. You know, the younger brother is actually trying to be an improv comedian. So there's some things, you know, with him. He's like the comedy. He's sort of like the, if you want to think of like comedy teams or whatever, his brother, Charles, is the straight man. And then the younger brother, Bruce, is kind of like the comedian, the comic relief or whatever. But it's a really good show. I think that they're going to probably get another season. The way that this one ends, it definitely sets up for another season. So hopefully they will get it, and we'll get more of the Brother's Son. So check that out. I think that's probably about 8 episodes. You can binge through that pretty quickly, because I think, you know, you'll see the first episode and be like, oh shit, okay, well, let me see what happens next. That's what I did. I was so intrigued by what I saw in the first episode, I was like, all right, you know, let's keep this party going. So, you know, it was really good watch, pretty entertaining, some sweet looking martial arts, you know, just a good time. So check that out. Another thing on Netflix that I checked out was Masters of the Universe Revolution. It's a brand new Masters of the Universe / He-Man joint that they put out there. It's like He-Man with a twist, because it's like sort of like the stuff that you already know, right? But then there's also like a lot of technology involved. So it's kind of like an updated version of He-Man, or what He-Man would be like in 2024. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I can't remember if I finished that or not. I think I did, because it's only like maybe like 5 episodes. But it was good. It was a good watch. I would give it, like, if I were to rate it, I'd probably give it like a 3.5. Excuse me, 3.75 out of like 5 or something. So yeah, it was pretty good, man. If you were an 80s baby and you grew up on He-Man and, you know, all that stuff that we used to watch back in the day, Voltron, all that type of stuff, then you'll enjoy it. And I think the sort of like new age version of it that they turned it into is probably something that would appeal to younger people. So if you haven't seen He-Man before, you're not really familiar with He-Man, that Masters of the Universe and everything, then, you know, you may be able to kind of like get into it because of some of the stuff that they are doing in there that's more current times type of stuff. You know what I mean? It's probably something that my generation and their kids or their younger siblings or, you know, nieces and nephews or whatever could probably all watch together, and everybody could probably get a little something from it. And the last thing that I want to talk about was something that I just watched today. I just finished watching earlier. It was called Kings from Queens. It's on Peacock, and it's about Run DMC. It's a 3-part documentary. Each part is about an hour long. And it's a documentary about, you know, Run DMC. Like, you know, obviously Jam Master Jay was murdered years ago, so rest in peace to him. But you got Run and DMC and then a bunch of other people that were involved in their story, you know, talking about, you know, just the group, how they came together, how they met each other, and each phase of their career, you know, the beginning of it, you know, when they really blew up, and then even stuff like, you know, when shit started getting a little shaky, and it was like, well, Run DMC is falling off, and then, you know, they did Down with the King and all that stuff, and they kind of brought them back, and then, you know, the unfortunate circumstances of Jay getting murdered, and you know, once he was killed, they actually retired the group, and I didn't know, and I remember that they did it, but I didn't know that they actually kind of announced that at his funeral or after his funeral, that, you know, we're not gonna perform anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't be Run DMC without Jay. You know what I mean? So Run and D hadn't performed together really since then. And actually, what I did enjoy too was that they included a part of their Hip Hop 50 performance. Last year, 2023, was the 50th year anniversary of the birth of hip hop. Hip hop was born in 1975. So, last year made 50 years, and there was a huge thing that they did at Yankee Stadium, where they had a bunch of folks come out there and perform like basically all day event on that particular day, and Run DMC was a part of that, and it was their first time performing with each other pretty much since Jay died. You know what I'm saying? Like, they, I guess they're still cool and all of that, but they just haven't, you know, been Run DMC, right? They've been living their own lives and doing their things and maybe, you know, talking and communicating behind the scenes, but they hadn't done nothing officially as the group since he's been gone. So they actually included a little bit about that towards the end of the doc, you know what I'm saying? And you can kind of see what they thought about that and kind of like them building up for that, and then you get to see some of their performance. I remember watching it the night that it happened, and it was dope, you know what I'm saying? It was dope to see them. They looked good, they sounded good. The crowd was into it, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was almost like you were watching an old Run DMC concert back in the day. Obviously, with the one thing, you know, the thing that was missing was Jay not being there, but, you know, everything else was as, you know, it would have been previously. So check that out. It's on Peacock. Like I said, it's called Kings from Queens. You know, they had a bunch of people in there. They had Curtis Blow, because Run used to be Curtis Blow's DJ. He was known as DJ Run, the son of Curtis Blow. And, you know, he was working with Curtis for a while. He ended up breaking his arm playing basketball. At one point, right before Curtis got a chance to go on his first tour. And they even had the dude, they said, because he was playing basketball, they even had a little quick little interview with the dude that they said broke his arm while he was playing. It was like, yeah, he said, yeah, I broke his arm. I ain't break his arm, blah, blah, blah. So that was cool. Like, but they had, you know, him, Curtis, they had Russell Simmons, which I was kind of surprised, but not really surprised. Like, I didn't know. I mean, obviously Russell and Run are brothers, but I didn't, you know, Russell's been, you know, in some shit, and he moved out of the country and all that. He still does do interviews and things like that. But so when he first popped up, I was like, oh shit, they got Russ in here. I mean, but I was like, well, that is his brother. So, and it's kind of like them telling their story, so why wouldn't he be a part of it? But you know, he was in there, LL, Dougie Fresh, MC Light was in there, Chuck D, Salt from Salt and Pepper, the Beastie Boys, you know what I mean? So there was a lot of people in there, and they all were giving props and showing love to Run and D and JMJ too. So check that out. Tap in with that. Once again, Kings from Queens, and that's on Peacock. And that's pretty much it, ladies and gentlemen. That's really all I wanted to holler at y'all about on this one. This year, I definitely want to do more of these solo, but I think I'm going to try to bring some people on here as well to do some of these, like, what you've been watching type of joints or whatever. I think that would be kind of cool. And I want to do some more stuff, like some longer form stuff that does include other people, where we're talking about TV in a certain type of way. Like, maybe we pick a movie or something like that, and kind of chop it up about that particular movie, or if there's a show that I want to watch, or, you know, discuss on the show or whatever. Maybe bring some people on to do stuff like that. So want to kind of, you know, do more with the South End Cinema stuff than just these solo joints, you know what I'm saying? And then with the Look and Listen podcast, you know, I want to do some more topical stuff. I got two ideas right now, so I need to start working on those. But I do have a couple in mind that I know I want to do this year. And then I'll, you know, hopefully be able to think of some more of them and bring people on. And you know, like I've been trying to say, and, you know, do a little bit more with this podcast and stuff. And just have some fun, man. And you know, again, be a guest on other people's shows if they'll have me. And just kind of, like, you know, tap in a little bit more with the podcasting side of things, with me actually being on the mic. You know, I've been doing this off and on for a long time, since like 2013. So I got a lot of experience with it, but there's still more to do. So, you know, we'll get into that. But before I get off of here, I just want to shout out social media stuff. So if y'all don't know already, you know, you can holler at me. On Twitter, I got 3 Twitter accounts. One of them is L Brothers Media, all one word. That's just me. That's just regular shit. That's kind of a little bit of everything. So I will talk about stuff that I've been watching, or, you know, we'll talk about pretty much whatever's going on, whatever comes to mind, you know, chopping it up with people about different stuff, you know, just kind of hanging out. So that's regular general shit. South End Cinema is what this is, right? So it's stuff that I've been watching. It's not everything necessarily, but if you just kind of want to see what I've been watching, whether it be documentaries or shows or movies or whatever, you can tap in with that. I post that on my main shit too, but if you're just looking for that, then that's where you can find that. Look and Listen Pod, at Look Listen Pod is the other one, and that's the one for the podcast network. You know, so tap in with that, you know. And then on Instagram, I got 3 of those. L Brothers Media, once again, kind of just general, just regular shit. South End Cinema, so that's, you know, screen caps of like, sort of like the posters or whatever of the stuff that I've been watching. So it's a visual representation of some of the stuff that I've been watching or whatever. So if you're looking for something to watch, you can either check out, you know, the Twitter or the Instagram, and just kind of scroll through there and see, oh, that looks good, you know, find stuff that, you know, may be appealing to you. And then I have LBM Food, which is just pictures of food, a lot of stuff that I cook, but then there's other things, you know, there's pictures of when I've gone out and had sushi, or like today I got a biscuit from Chick-fil-A, so I took a picture of that and put it on there. So, you know, but if you want to see stuff that I've cooked, then that's on there. I got to get back in the kitchen. It's been a little while since I've really done anything, you know, worth writing home about. So, you know, we'll be getting back with that too. But so those are those. And then I'm on TikTok at L Brothers Media as well. And on there you can actually see I shoot like little videos. Like when I'm cooking stuff, a lot of times I'll just grab my iPhone and, you know, shoot videos of the process. And you can find a lot of those on the Instagram, LBM Food. But there's another place where you can check out, you know, some of the, like, my little TikTok videos of me cooking and doing whatever, you know, at L Brothers Media on TikTok. So holler at me, you know what I'm saying? Let me know if you check out Killer Zaddy or Davion or Black Cake or any of these things that we talked about on this one or any stuff in the future. So that's it. That's all. I'm going to holler at y'all on the next one. And y'all stay safe. Be easy. Peace.